Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening. We are on the air with Dr. Pat Allen, and we are going to answer your questions tonight, and we're going to talk about all the wonderful things that Pat Allen knows about and tells us about. First, I want to talk to you about Sunday, May 24th, by popular demand. We have 5 seats added, but only 5 more, folks. It's 9 to 5, Sunday, May 24th. $95. It's a wonderful chemistry, compatibility, and communication. So go to www.wantistore.com and sign up and register for this wonderful show. Dr. Allen, you're on the air. Welcome.
I love being here, ready to answer.
So we have some great questions tonight that have come in from our Facebook followers. And the very first one I want to pose to you, I will not say the name, comes this question. What if the woman's masculine man starts to act like a feminine man? I'm married, but sometimes lately I'm feeling like I'm wearing the pants. What do I do?
Communicate as if you're a woman so that when he says, you see, when he asks you to do something, or he asks you to lead, or he asks you to do whatever, first thing you say is, I really appreciate your respecting me, but I would be much more comfortable if you told me what you want, what you think, and then asked me how I felt about it. But if you want to delegate leadership to me, then simply say, I do not want to make a decision about the restaurant. I don't want to make a decision about the movies. I want you to make a decision. And how do you feel about doing that? Now, that's not mothering him. Remember, mothering is when we initiate and offer, honey, I think it'd be good if we did this, or I want to do that, or sure, I'll do it all.
Right.
So it's when he asks you to do it that you are basically still feminine.
Okay, so in other words, it's okay, you still get to stay in the feminine if you're willing to let him delegate those things to you.
Well, not only delegate, but ask you to do them.
Right, but on the other hand, you were saying something about, okay, I'll do it all as mothering. Isn't that also being a zero?
No. When you're a mother, you're being a 10.
Okay.
And he gets to be a 0.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Yeah.
Now, it's really important for people to realize that all babies are female when in the womb.
Right.
And that basically the job of being a man is to push away women that mother him. But in our culture, we women like to mother. We think nurturing is feminine.
Well, it's very masculine.
It's very masculine.
Right.
In other parts of the world, they go too far in thinking that we don't have the right, you know, to our opinions and thoughts. But in this culture, we have won the right to be men if we want to.
Right.
And so men have the right to want to be feminine.
Right. It doesn't. It's not necessarily dictated by what your genitalia is.
No, as I always say, there are more men with vaginas today than ever before.
Right.
And there are more women with penises than ever before. And I personally don't have any gender prejudice.
Right.
But I want you to know what you want to be. Do you want to be respected first, cherished second? Or do you want to be cherished first and respected second? Or do you want to be respected and cherished equally?
And then that makes you
narcissistic.
A narcissist. Right.
And that's okay as long as you're a zero or your partner is a narcissist too. Then you, four of you, can duke it out in every transaction.
Right, because that sounds like a really peaceful existence.
Well, it may not be peaceful, but there are people like, you know, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Right, right.
That was a battle of masculine and feminine.
Right, it was a complete battle.
And the Bickersons.
Okay, well, here we have another question. This one's coming in from your Facebook feed, and it says, I began talking to a guy last July after he pursued me for over a month before I gave in and went on a date. We dated for a few months, and then he got busier at work, and that's in quotation marks. I was depressed, but rose above this during the holidays. I made a trip to California, and I began loving myself again. I'm finally at peace with myself, and the same guy who ignored me for that time has messaged me sporadically over the past 2 months, since the beginning of April and throughout May. I guess my question is, how can I teach him to treat me if he's indeed trying to be opening up a door that I'm scared to open? I feel like I wanted to give him a second chance, and after listening to a lot of your podcasts and reading some of your books, like Getting to I Do, I felt competent and confident that I can handle myself much better now. What can I do to make him want to pursue me again, but not scare him away?
Don't pursue him. In other words, let him lead.
Right.
That's the point. When women get frightened, when they, I call it bait and switch.
Right.
When they basically come and say, I'm here, and they say, I'm present.
Right.
What they're saying is, look, lady, most women have the courage to ask me out. Most women don't put me through this scary experience of basically being the man. I don't want to always be the man.
Right.
To which I say, fine, then tell her you want her to make the decision.
Right.
But then ask her how she feels about doing it.
So your advice for this young woman would be not to chase him.
No.
And just be...
I want her to date three men so that she's distracted, so that she's not waiting.
So you want her to do your wonderful and famous...
Duty dating.
Okay, well, that's fantastic. But one of the other questions we have tonight is, Dr. Allen, I want a duty date. And
now, is it a man or a woman saying this?
This is a female.
Female.
I want to duty date, but I kind of feel like it's dishonest. What would you say to that, Dr. Allen?
It's as dishonest as shopping and not buying.
Okay, see, I agree with that. You don't go and buy the first pair of shoes you try on.
That's right.
Come on, ladies. We know that. We will try on Jimmy Choo's. Come on. We're going to try on them all. Hey, we have a call coming in, Dr. Allen. Shall we take it?
Yes.
Hello, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question? Oh, and we have the caller that just ran away.
Okay.
So anyway, tonight, everybody, we want you to know that Dr. Pat Allen's show is sponsored by the Want Institute, and you can investigate the Want Institute at www.wantinstitute.org. It's a fantastic organization for effective communication. So, Dr. Allen, duty dating, it isn't cheating. We are trying things
on. It is
not.
It is shopping.
It's
and what it's really doing is giving you skills. I want people to understand that when you have chemistry for a person you've just met, you very often act in ways that is really a turnoff. Bad first impressions do count. So the more you date, whether it's real dating where you have chemistry, or whether it's duty dating, in which you're doing what in my childhood they called cotillion.
Right.
That's where you got together with boys and all of you hated being there and you learned how to dance together.
Right.
Do you see?
Preferably slow dance together.
Well, at that time, it was just young people learning to be social.
Right.
But duty dating is, in fact, very important as a way to build skills in being in dating situations. How to sit in the car until you wait for him to open it. How to stand in front of the door. And if you've ever seen the movie Duty Dating,
right,
that was made by Cherry Norris, and it she was a client, and I have permission to say that. And she did this great, I just think it's the cutest movie.
It is adorable.
Yes. But it's all about duty dating.
Well, you know, I think it's interesting because I was just speaking with my aunt about this. And, you know, she has been married, let me see now, 52 years to the same man. And it isn't that they haven't had their rocky, bumpy dips and curves in the road, because they have, and they're willing to tell you about that. But one of the things I think is so interesting is that she was a duty dater before she had the great privilege of knowing about Pat Allen. And I asked her, you know, how did you pick Uncle? And she said, it's simple. I had a box of men, and I picked my favorite one out of the box. And I said, what do you mean by that? She said, I dated 4 or 5 men, and then I would say, nope, that's not the one. Nope, he's not the one. Nope, that's not the one. She said, until I met your uncle, and then I comparison shopped him with other men. She said, you know, in that day and age, it was just when you went out on a date and you went on a picnic with Steve, and, you know, maybe the next day you would go to a social or a dance or a movie with Bob, and, you know, you didn't commit.
You didn't have intercourse.
Yes, you didn't commit sexually. So one of the questions that a lot of the ladies are asking is, what if I don't have sex with him and he goes away? They're very, very concerned about that. They feel like if they don't put out, that he's going to get out.
Then I want you to know they will be used and abused, and whatever they build, he will remember that he has the right to cheat on you.
Right.
And so it'll show up in any marriage.
Right.
The best sex life, scientifically, was the person who didn't have intercourse early.
Right.
You got affectionate. You basically became friends.
Right.
Remember, no friendship advances past the first lay, because once you have sex, it goes territorial.
Right.
And territorial is where you're not going to, and I'm telling you, and it's all a power play.
Right.
So I really want people to understand that delaying your wedding night enhances your long-term sexual vitality.
Right. Okay. Well, here's a question. I have a man. And after hearing and, you know, knowing all of Pat Allen's stuff, I figured out that he was a Peter Pan, but then he began to change. I then noticed the more I gave, the more he seemed to turn back into Peter Pan. What did I do wrong?
You became Wendy. That's exactly what I'm saying. The masculine job is giving, protecting, and cherishing.
Right.
The feminine job is to receive, be available to receive, and respect the person that gives, protects, and cherishes you.
Right.
So maleness is competitive, conquering, and controlling.
Okay.
Femaleness is passivity.
Right.
Patience.
Mm-hmm.
And vulnerability to his leadership, as long as his leadership is moral, ethical, and legal.
Okay.
Women get what they want, whether they're men's body, women's body. Women, feminine people, yin people, get what they want by knowing what they don't want. Oh, and I see people squeaking out there. Oh, but the secret says that's negative. No is negative. No is not negative when it comes to, if I know what I don't want, it will allow what I want to come to me.
Okay, I get that. A lot of people think that saying what you want is impolite. What do you say to that, Dr. Allen?
If you're a man and you want to be a man, then you will say what you want. Remember, if two people want to buy your car and one says, I would like to buy your car, and the other one says, I want to buy your car, who has the money?
The one that wants it.
But if politeness outranks potency, impotency is there.
I see. That's interesting that you bring that up, because I know that you, of course, have your fantastic ASR, and yours is semantics. So my question is, and you mentioned outliers the other day.
Yes.
And I wanted to know what you thought of the chapter on the Korean Air disaster thing.
Well, what I think is it's a demonstration of cultural limits.
Right.
There was a time a while back when Korean Airlines was having a lot of crashes, and I'm sorry to say that we've had a couple recently, but they wanted to know why.
Right.
And so what they did was they tracked, observed, filmed, whatever they did, and they found the following, that the cultural politeness is so powerful that the co-pilot cannot critique the pilot on the plane.
Exactly, and I think that's so interesting because it really relates to what you're talking about with respect to that.
And do you know what Korean Airlines did to offset that?
Do tell me.
They had all of the people that work on planes study English, because English is very self-centered.
Yes.
Very potent.
Yes.
Can be seen as selfish.
Right.
But at least it doesn't allow politeness to allow you to run into a mountain.
Right. Nimitz Hill in the Philippines. Right. When I read that, I was really, really amazed. And I so related back to what you talk about with respect to how you talk to people and how you do that dance, how you, you know, I don't think you have to be rude.
Well,
to
I'll run through the potency list. Here's
okay.
The rational potency list. Instead of saying I should, you should, we should, they should, say I want, how do you feel, or what do you think?
Right.
Now, if it's a woman you're speaking to, you say, how do you feel about it?
Right.
If it's a man, you say, what do you think about it?
Right.
When it comes to asking to talk to somebody, instead of saying, would it be all right if we talked, or may I speak to you, or that sort of thing.
Right.
Instead, saying, I want to talk to you, may I please?
Right.
I want to do this, would it be all right? I don't want this, do you mind? Put politeness at the end of a potent sentence.
Oh, that's very good. I think that's really good. I think a lot of the women are getting hung up on feeling like they're being rude, but the way you say it with the politeness at the end of it seems very
It's very
effective.
Appropriate. Very appropriate. Also, when you want basically to apologize, you know, I say you don't apologize unless you knew you were doing something wrong.
In other words, if you were blatantly or maliciously attacking somebody, doing something wrong in that
and
respect.
And then you would say, I apologize for doing that.
If it was inadvertent, then
it was an accident, you would say, I feel badly. I made a mistake, and I'm going to do better in the future. Here's what's interesting. If you look at a big dictionary, when you look up apology, it will say, just say you're, you know, sorry for doing it. But it doesn't require restitution.
Right.
When you make an amends, the 12-step programs are very big on making amends, making an admission of a mistake and a promise to do better. When you make an amends, what you're doing is admitting you caused pain and you're feeling badly about it, but it's also restructuring a change.
Okay.
The way out of any negative feeling is a positive decision. What is it I want? What is it I don't want? Followed by action or inaction as soon as possible.
And when you say followed by action and inaction, can
you say, in the future, I'm going to do it differently, or in the future, I don't want to do it the same way. You say what you want to do and what you don't want to do.
Okay.
All right.
So I say what you're saying.
Good.
Callers, you can call us at 323-203-0815. And back to duty dating. We have a question about internet dating. Can you use internet dating to duty date? Is it appropriate for a woman to send a wink or a flirt or a kissy face or whatever in the online world?
So. Absolutely.
And that isn't considered making the first move.
It's considered presenting.
Oh, presenting. Okay.
If you do it again, you're chasing.
Okay, so one time.
One time.
You're scrolling through the bank of eligible, hopefully they're actually bachelors, and you see one that, what is it? Okay, maybe that's feeding your eyes, so.
I've got news for you. It has been studied that we get a lot of information from photographs.
Right, it is.
The biggest problem with internet, dating, is that the photographs aren't the people, that they don't look like the people.
So, now, how long would you say, I have one person who's been talking to me, and she's been engaging in this internet, I don't know how to put it really, flirtation.
Punching.
She's found one that she likes. And they've been flirting and chatting and emailing and doing this, what I call...
But not meeting.
But they haven't met.
They haven't checked the chemistry.
Right. I told her, I said, I really think that you could really be wasting a lot of time.
Not only that, but you can fall lustfully in love with the person that you're talking to.
Right.
But the problem is, when you meet them, it may not be chemical.
Well, she's really, really invested in this. And actually, I think if... And I don't mean this in an ugly way, but I think it's making her a little bit crazy. I mean, it's making her a little bit nutty. She's very convinced.
It's called obsessive.
Yeah, she's very convinced.
Codependent.
Yeah, that she shouldn't be talking to any other men. She shouldn't be flirting, because I'm telling her, you really need to get out there.
That's called premature monogamy.
Now, I would love for you to talk a little bit about premature monogamy.
Premature monogamy is basically when you limit your dating to one person. I recommend three people, and I recommend that you date them three times, unless you got a message in the first date that signaled moral, ethical, legal issues.
Right.
Because many, many people are very clumsy. The first olive out of the bottle can be very clumsy, and you can say and do things that you regret. So my want would be that if whoever the male is, or the female,
right,
that you ask and you say yes three times,
right,
for a date. Because by that time, you have probably felt the chemistry or not felt the chemistry. And if it is a not felt chemistry, then what you would say at the request of the fourth date, I've had a good time on the three dates we've had, but I want to tell you, I am not feeling romantically turned on, and I don't want to use you, and I don't want to lead you on. So if you choose to socially date me, you're dating a friend, at least for the time being.
Okay, so Dr. Allen, does chemistry ever, all of a sudden, does that chemistry switch ever just boom, turn on?
It does. They found it. And you know what they found? They found that very often people you are repelled by or are repelling to you, it's because here's the situation. Women who pick with their eyes, meeting a good man, and in three dates, she hears his moral code, his humor, his intelligence, his life goals. And she, I just had a success story with a girl in her 60s.
Oh, wow.
Basically, who said, I always picked with my eyes. And
right.
Now I found a man found me that isn't that pretty, but I now listen to him and his manliness, and I'm ecstatic.
That's fantastic.
So if a man is picking with his ears, it would not be unusual that he said, oh, you own your house? Oh, you've got a good job? Oh, because very often men that listen with their ears do not do what men that pick with their eyes do. Harvard did the study in the 90s.
Uh-huh.
Two-thirds of men pick with their eyes for sensual and sexual stability.
Right.
That doesn't mean we have to have intercourse with them. It means they pick us because we do attract them physically.
Right, physically.
One-third of men pick with their ears, you see?
Yeah.
But they're looking for status and security.
Okay.
And I have no problem. There's a lid for every pot.
Right.
You see?
Yeah.
Two-thirds of women pick with their ears.
Okay.
For status and security.
Right.
One-third of women pick with their eyes for sensual and sexual. They're called cougars. You see?
Now, that's an interesting thing that you bring up. Cougars.
So,
who
yeah.
do they go with? Are they allowed to go with Peter Pan? Are they
yes,
satisfied with that?
Absolutely, because cougars generally want to get laid, and young men, toy boys,
mm-hmm.
do you see?
Right.
Do very well with cougars.
Right.
On the other hand, mature men in their 50s, right?
They like the hard bodies.
They like, yes, but the hard bodies are often youngish in their 30s. The divorce statistics for an age difference of 15 years is very, very good.
Wow.
With the man older, do you see?
Yeah.
Very often, a man and a woman, both 35,
right,
are really, in today's world, competing for careers and doing, do you see, they're often so equal
right.
that they end up, I feel, I don't want, and that's too competitive.
Oh, we've got a caller. Caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. You have a question.
Hi, I had a question. I was seeing a guy. We've been on about 3 dates now. And when he went beyond boundaries, I said I wasn't comfortable and unless I was in a relationship and what he thought about that. And he said, well, you're leaving for the summer. And I said, yes. And then he said, well, if you change your mind about that, let me know. And I haven't heard back from him. And I'm wondering if it's because I set those boundaries or if it was because I'm leaving and what I should do about that.
Well, once you go out of the area, then he's stranded. So what he's saying is, I am not going to pursue you until you come back, unless I've already picked another woman.
Right.
Do you see?
So, and I know, like, we're still friends on Facebook, and he's still liking my photos and stuff like that.
I've got news for you. Then he is courting you through your brain, through information. That's very, very nice.
Right. So should I... okay, so then the other part of it is that I just found out that he slept with my roommate about 2 years ago, and neither of them told me, and one of my other friends told me this.
Wait a minute. You don't have a right to know that.
I don't, but someone told me, so I do know.
Well, look, but even if you do know, you have no standing. There is no reason for you to be upset about that.
Right. So I shouldn't talk to him about or tell him that I know?
No, dear. I think whoever told you who was dating who and who was sleeping. In fact, the truth is, I don't care who sleeps with each other. It's whether you have intercourse that I care about. There's a lot of sexual play, foreplay, that is quite nice when you're getting to know each other. I care a lot about the boundaries around intercourse. That's where the truth comes out, the commitment. I don't approve of, look, I understand prostitutes make their living giving sex. That's a business. But intercourse for a normal young or, a normal woman or a man is a real move towards hooking up, which is casual sex, and in my world, quite dangerous. But if you don't have any standing with a man, you're not his girlfriend, you're not his wife, you're not whatever you are, you mm-hmm. don't have any right to know anything. In fact, the person that told the story is gossiping.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'll just...
If I were you...
Make sure...
He is a maybe for when you come back from wherever you're going.
Mm-hmm.
And while you're gone, communicate with him at his request. In other words, be friendly.
Essentially, Dr. Allen, what you're saying is that the fact that he had a sexual relationship or a fling or a one-night stand or whatever it might have been with her roommate 2 years ago, what is the relevance to that? Because she wasn't with him 2 years ago, so why does it matter?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Great. So he's on social media a lot because he's an actor, and...
I got news for
I'm
you.
Not
he has no commitment.
Mm-hmm.
He's a single male investigating women.
Totally. I was wondering how, because, I would like a lot of his photos and the information that he posts, but I don't want to...
You said he was doing that to you.
He was, occasionally, a few.
Well, I mean, are you
so I'm just
swamping,
wondering how much is too much.
Him? I see 2-1. Let him do 2-1.
Right.
You know those balls that bounce back and forth? When they come equal, they stop. Is that right?
Right.
Okay. So because he's already talked to you about commitment and he said you're going away and that means that there's not logistic time and space. So that to me says check on you if you're available when you come back, maybe. Maybe not, but...
Right, so just let things be.
Yes, but...
And see if he messages me when I'm back.
Right, and as a percentage, 2-1.
Right.
You do 1 to him for his 2 to you.
Right.
That keeps you in the response mode and him in the mail mode.
Totally.
That makes sense, caller?
Totally, thank you so much.
Good.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Premature monogamy
mm-hmm.
is what she just demonstrated.
Right.
In other words, she had a communication and they dated a little bit, right?
Right.
And she presumed standings that didn't exist. She's
right.
not a girlfriend. She's. In fact, he said, you're going away. We can't, there's nothing to do.
Right. Right, there's no way for us to hook up or whatever, or to be together because you're not going to be here to be with.
He was a good, honest animal man. He asked for sex.
Right.
Okay, and she said, no, not unless I'm in a committed, monogamous, long-term relationship.
Right.
Which is her being a virtuous woman.
Right.
Do you see?
Yes.
So that's nature.
Right.
But if you're building something,
right.
nature is hooking up.
Right.
Building is commitment. The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else are the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Exactly. Okay, we have an interesting one. You know, I think I can see this young woman's point. I'm a vegetarian, and all the guys I date are not. I can tell it makes them very uncomfortable when I tell them that I'm a vegetarian, and that makes me uncomfortable. I don't believe we need to eat animals to survive. However, I would be willing to eat meat just to avoid the awkwardness on dates. Is it possible to start off this way and later tell them I prefer not eating meat?
No, that's really leading them on.
Yeah.
You see, there are three elements in a relationship, which is what we're going to do on the 24th, 9 to 5.
Oh, yes.
Chemistry,
everybody, Long Beach, 24th.
Chemistry, which is nature's gift.
Right.
When somebody's a little like your mom or dad or a little not like your mom and dad, diversification. Nature loves diversification. And so if somebody's too much like mom and dad, DNA,
right,
or too much not like mom and dad, there's no chemistry.
Right.
Okay, so chemistry is nature's gift.
Right.
And it occurs within 3 minutes of meeting, unless you're a woman who picks with your eyes instead of your ears.
Right.
Or you're a man that picks with your ears instead of your eyes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which totally screws up the chemistry. The second element is compatibility. And compatibility is religion, ethnic base.
Okay.
Life goals.
Right.
Veganism.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Right.
And if you have top three compatibility issues, if he has to be vegan, then you're incompatible now.
Well, that's interesting. So basically it would be starting out really with a lie.
If she ate meat, she's going against her own moral, ethical, legal judgment. Do you see? She doesn't believe it's right. And moral codes, ethnic codes, religious codes are all major issues,
right,
that would cause a problem in a relationship. But here's what might happen.
Mm-hmm.
She's vegan. Okay. And he says, well, I'm not vegan, and I don't know if I want to be vegan. And she says, that's fine. We can date. I like to date people. And so as long as you eat your meat and I don't eat my meat and you don't get mad and I don't get mad, we can date compatibly.
That makes complete sense.
But building something further, well, I want to make love to you. Oh, no, 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 no. I only make love with people I'm building that are chemical compatible, and we negotiate the boundaries. What are the boundaries? We're going to the same place. We're going towards marriage in a year or two or whatever.
Right.
We're going to raise the kids Catholic, Jewish, whatever.
Right.
You've got it. We are going to agree to disagree that I'm a Republican and you're a Democrat, and it's never going to come up. Do you see?
Right. It could actually work. She could actually have a relationship with a meat eater, an omnivore, as long as it's out there in the open and it's negotiated.
That's right.
In a
respectful, cherishing way.
Exactly. So, to my question asker, I hope you heard that, because I can see that it's important to you and that you are out there dating. So hopefully you are going to find what you're looking for.
You see, the problem with premature intercourse is your bodies fall in love before you do. And therefore, you lie, cheat, and steal to keep the relationship going.
Right,
and
right.
And that's where it shows up. But you said you'd give up veganism.
Right.
Remember the following statement. Men pray that women will not change after the wedding.
Right.
Women pray that men will change after the wedding.
Oh, and Dr. Allen, why is that? I mean,
the reason for that is for an insecure man, okay, he is not willing to consider that there's ups and downs, that there are going to be days when you don't like each other.
Right.
You see?
Yeah.
And you work it through. But you have to be 51% sure that this person is compatible 51% of the time. Do you see?
Okay, yeah. So I do understand that. And as a matter of fact,
okay.
I just, again, was talking to another friend of mine, and she said, you know, he's driving me crazy. And I said that to her, well, is he 51% worth it?
Yes.
She said, not today. And I said, well, what about yesterday or last week or, you know, whatever?
Yes.
And she said, it seemed to her that him being 51% worth it was reducing a percentage of the time. In other words, instead of it being 80% or 90% of the time he was 51% worth it, it seemed to her that it was going down from 90 to 70 to 40.
Well, when it comes, then this is what I tell people. Put a plus or a minus on a calendar at the end of the day.
Right.
For this 51% factor.
Okay.
And see, that's a superficial way of doing it.
Right.
And I didn't answer the question about a woman who basically does what she doesn't want to do.
Right, yes.
As a way to manipulate.
Yeah.
You see?
Well, yeah, what is that? What happens
What that
then?
is a woman who's had premature sex. Premature intercourse. Her body was bonded to his body, and she will be addicted to his body, and she will lie, cheat, and steal, do you see?
Yeah.
In order to be with that body.
Is that chemically and
it's
physically?
Chemically. Chemical and physical is the same thing.
Okay.
So for young men, they don't bond. They fall in love.
Okay.
Do you see?
Yeah.
For young women, they're not falling in love. They're chemically bonding.
Bonding.
Helen Fisher, who heads up chemistry.com dating service, has a book, Why Him, Why Her.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when you're young, young women are on estrogen. Young men are not.
Right.
Old men, 50 plus, 45 to 50 on up, are on estrogen. Older women are not.
Right.
So a young man and an older woman can have casual sex a lot more than an older man and a younger woman because they tend to bond and want to build new families.
Right. Okay. That makes sense.
Older women and younger men very often build businesses.
Really?
Yeah, they make money, not love.
Okay, and is that beneficial to the relationship, or do they just end up being business partners and friends?
They end up business partners. The problem here is that he very often wants to have babies, and she no longer is capable.
Oh. And that's sort of the death knell of
well,
it.
You know what? Love is basically all relationships end. I always say this. You die or you divorce. That's it. Unless you go down in the plane or you hit the car at the same time, you basically have got to decide if this person is really good for you at this time in your life.
Yeah. Yeah, I see that. Wow. This is an interesting question, Dr. Allen.
What's that?
I am 39 years old. And
what is it, a man or a woman?
It's a female.
Female.
I'm a 39-year-old female. And I am married. I was married, but I've been divorced for a year and a half.
Yes.
I find myself sexually attracted to men, but also I seem to feel sexually attracted to women too. What is happening to me? Is this normal?
I have a belief we're all male and female. Men have male bodies, but they have female souls, the anima.
Mm-hmm.
Women have female bodies, yin bodies, but they have male souls,
mm-hmm.
the animas. We are all some version of Bruce Jenner.
Right.
But not all of us want to act on both sides.
Yes, she's saying she feels guilty and ashamed, and that she will go and look at female pornography, showing females together. So she wants to know, what can I do to stop this? Do I need to stop this? What's wrong with me?
No, you don't need nothing.
Okay.
Nothing.
So she's really worried something's wrong with her.
Nothing's wrong. It's simply that she's attracted. You see, we're all on a continuum.
Right.
Every one of us is on a range of 1 to 10. If you're a 5, you have to decide if you want to mate and marry from your masculine or from your feminine.
Right.
If you're an 8 or a 9 on the masculine,
right,
it's not an issue. If you're 8 or 9 on the feminine side, neurobiologically, remember, sexual choice. They've got a simple test for gayness now. You know what it is?
What's that?
Picture of pretty man, pretty woman. Who causes your eyes to dilate?
Oh, yeah, the pupil, the dilation of pupil.
See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's... Our brains are constantly making choices,
right,
what we like and what we don't like. But the truth of the matter is we're all androgynous.
Right.
And a lot of people are ambisexual.
Okay.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
And they often are bisexual.
Okay.
But it's choice.
It's choice. Okay.
It's choice.
Okay, so to our gal that wrote in, there were, according to Dr. Allen, and I think many, many people now, in the light of everything that's being discovered, there's nothing wrong with you. It's your choice.
It's your choice
it's
what
your choice.
You want to act on. Polygamy, polyamorous, takes up a lot of time and is a booger for the appointment book.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying? But the truth of the matter is, maleness, there's a wonderful book by Barish called The Myth, M-Y-T-H, The Myth of Monogamy.
Oh, okay.
We are not monogamous animals.
Right.
Period. So the truth of the matter is, if given our freedom, we'd have a man for our woman and we'd have a woman for our man.
Right.
Do you see what I'm
sure,
saying?
Sure, of course.
But... You'd have to be with somebody that also approved of polyamorous behavior.
It would be a large group of people in the end time.
Well,
because it would be just, you know, exponential.
Yes. So it's a matter of what you're willing to pay for.
Right.
What you're willing to negotiate.
Right. Where's your where's your choke point?
And that's where it is.
Dr. Allen, we are incredibly close to the end of time, and it goes so fast, I don't understand how it does. What wonderful words of wisdom do you have for us tonight before we close?
My words of wisdom are, do not trust any human being.
Yes.
But build a trustworthy record. And that can take up to a year. And the only way you build a trustworthy record is making and keeping commitments.
Awesome. Thank you, Dr. Allen. Everybody, remember, Sunday, May 24th, Long Beach, Holiday Inn, 9 to 5, chemistry, compatibility, and communication. So very vitally important. www.wantistore.com. We have added 5 seats by demand, so there's a couple left. Get to that website. Visit us at www.drpatallen.com. and visit our sponsor, www.wantinstitute.org. Find us on Facebook. Tweet with us, because we love it when you do. Give us a one-up on Google Plus. And remember, we love your likes. And that's it for tonight.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.